QAnon is the world's largest online political conspiracy movement. Followers believe someone codenamed Q is providing them with secret information from inside the White House. No one really knows the real identity of Q though. We aim to change that. I'm Jake Hanrahan and this is Q Clearance, a podcast series aimed at unmasking the true identity of Q. This is brought to you by iHeartRadio and Coup d'Etat Media. Last episode, we built the final part of our case that shows very strongly that the Watkins family are currently in control of the QAnon account. In this final episode, we'll be reviewing all the information that we've learned along the way and looking at how we can maybe help to understand and perhaps stop the spread of life-consuming conspiracy theories like QAnon. Firstly though, I just want to thank everyone that's been listening. We've had an excellent reception to Q Clearance. I am very happy that you have found this useful. Thank you very much. Now, many people have got in contact with me since the series launched. Some just say, oh wow, I didn't know how deep QAnon was. Some have thanked me for explaining the details of the theory. But many have reached out to say how their families have been tipped upside down by relatives who've let QAnon take over their whole lives. This might sound dramatic, but there are hundreds, probably thousands, of people all over the US and the rest of the world who have family members that believe they're evil or somehow their enemy because they question Q. It's a real problem, and like Sarah Hightower said in episode 1, QAnon is looking more and more like a cult. Speaking of messages, one of the more interesting ones that I got just yesterday came from a man who claims to have known Paul Ferber for decades. If you remember, Paul Ferber is who we think first had control of the QAnon account and made it popular as it moved over from 4chan to 8chan. This guy who messaged me, he wants to remain anonymous, we'll call him Jack. He messaged me saying he'd listened to Q Clearance and he was shocked to hear Paul Ferber's name. He showed me evidence that proved he was in fact an old acquaintance of Ferber's. Quite a bit closer than an acquaintance actually in some ways, but I don't want to say too much. This guy, Jack, said something to me very interesting whilst we had a conversation. He said, quote, "Do I think Paul Ferber could have been QAnon? Absolutely. The manner of speech and writing fit him, I believe." End quote. Remember, this guy has known Paul Ferber for decades. He proved it to me. Jack then went on to say that Paul Ferber is a very smart guy, but has long been diagnosed with a serious mental health issue. He said he thinks Ferber is deteriorating at the moment. He also said that Paul has always been a Christian fundamentalist, which would certainly add up with some of the hardline Christian Q drops that were posted on 8chan. Now, if you look at Ferber's bizarre tweets in his one-man failed mission to make Big Dick Anon relevant, I think it's definitely a possibility that he has been having issues with his mental health for a while. I'm not saying that to take the piss. It's genuinely quite clear that this is going on and it's not good. This is one of the saddest parts of long, drawn-out conspiracy movements like QAnon. It not only attracts grifters and con men, but also sweeps up the mentally ill, or it makes those already fragile in that respect slip down a dangerous rabbit hole of hoaxes. Anyway, Q Clearance final episode, let's recap it all. If you cast your mind back 9 weeks ago to episode 1, you'll remember that's when we first laid out what QAnon actually is and what the people that follow it believe in. Let's go over it again so we can start connecting this Q Clearance map of ours from start to finish in one place. So, as we discussed in episode 1, if anyone asks you what QAnon is, you can completely freak them out by saying the following. Q is a decentralized global conspiracy theory movement that believes a man with a special government clearance in America is posting secret information from the White House. This guy is known as Q. Q is doing this by posting the supposed government information on an image board website that allows pedophiles and Nazi terror groups that want to put an end to America to post openly. Q is doing all of this because he claims he's a true American patriot and that his mission is to stop a deep state cabal of pedophiles within the Democrat Party and the so-called mainstream liberal media. He needs to stop them launching a silent coup d'etat against Trump, who is also in on the act under the codename Q+. It's absolutely unbelievably ridiculous. Why would an anti-pedophile American patriot with a Q clearance post secret information on an image board where pedophiles are allowed to roam free and neo-Nazis are allowed to talk about how much they want to launch terror attacks to bring America to its knees? It makes no sense. Not only that, why would he choose to form this global digital army when Q could just get anyone planning a US coup arrested immediately if he had the evidence he claims to? If someone has a Q clearance, they're certainly trusted by the government on some level above your average citizen. I don't think it would be hard for Q to get the authorities to take his evidence seriously, if he had any. What's more, again, if Q was real, why the fuck did Donald Trump lose the election recently? Well, as we know by now, QAnon followers have an answer for everything. But just keep in mind that these are completely fair and logical questions for anyone you encounter that might be QAnon curious. In fact, I have met people that are kind of interested in Q and they think there might be something behind it. And before they get too deep into it, I've said to them, hey, why would a guy that wants to stop pedophiles post on an image board that allows pedophiles? 8chan, for example, even had its own board where pedophiles could gather and talk about horrific acts of child abuse as if it was some kind of war story. Why would somebody like Q, if he was who he says he is, why would he do that? Often this does actually help when people go, oh yeah, what the fuck? Yeah, this is actually quite dark. Unfortunately, a lot of people disregard this and just say, oh well, Q had to use 8chan and 8kun because the cabal tried to stop him everywhere else. It's ridiculous, but it is the way it is. So, we know what QAnon is. What it isn't is a left-wing hoax. Remember episode 2? That's the one where we thoroughly debunked one of the much-hyped theories that QAnon is being run by a bunch of leftist hoaxers called the Wooming Collective. The idea was that they were doing this just to try and make MAGA boomers look stupid. We heard from one of the lead members of the Wooming Collective ourselves, and he was adamant that it wasn't them. None of it really added up either. The Wooming Collective has always claimed their stunts and hoaxes. No one has ever come forward to say, yeah, we're behind QAnon, and it's definitely run its course now. Before the election would have been the time. They didn't do it. It's not the Wooming Collective. This theory was all just badly researched hype from an old BuzzFeed article. The article itself was actually built off of a 4chan post that basically said, haha, we've tricked the right-wing boomers with this QAnon hoax. Just remember, almost never take 4chan seriously, as the journalist did that wrote that article. In episode 3, we learned all about the aforementioned Paul Ferber. This is when we discovered that he'd likely taken over the QAnon account after it was kicked off of 4chan. Remember, Ferber was the only one that could supposedly verify that when Q posted, it was the real Q. A problem that is obviously very rife on a completely anonymous image board like 4chan or 8chan. After this, in episode 4, we showed how Paul Ferber had his QAnon train hijacked. That is, we think the Watkins family took the QAnon account away from Ferber. How? Well, remember, Jim Watkins' son, Ron Watkins, was the 8chan admin, effectively the only person above Paul Ferber that could verify that Q was in fact Q. He played a big switcheroo on Ferber and became Q. Why would he do this? Well, the Watkins family needed this train to speed up. The more people that came to 8chan, the better. More traffic means more advertisers, which means more money. If the Watkins could control the Q narrative, they could better control how people engage with it. Therefore, they could bring more people to 8chan to check up on all the drops. Also, both the dad and the son are big-time MAGA fundamentalists who dwell in the darkest parts of the internet and mix themselves amongst conspiracy theorists and pedos. It makes sense that someone like this would own QAnon. And then the US election happened. Biden won. As we heard in episode 4, QAnons were absolutely certain that Trump, their God King, was going to win again. There was no doubt in their mind. QAnon said it will be a Trump landslide. When Trump wasn't re-elected, many QAnon followers actually took to the internet to state their disgust and basically said they'd lost their faith in Q. Others, though, went the other way. They doubled down. It's now largely QAnon followers that are pushing the election fraud theory, stating that the Democrats stole the election. They don't think that that means it's over, though. No, many of them still believe that that is all part of Q's plan, and that Trump will sweep in to take the election back and send everyone that he needs to send to prison and let them rot, and then the plan will be done. This theory is gaining weight within their community, especially since Trump retweeted a MAGA news segment that featured Ron Watkins as a technical analyst. This is what we spoke about in episode 6 when we stated that we believe the Watkins family are definitely behind the QAnon account currently. In episode 7, we made our case for all of this, showing the many coincidences between Jim Watkins' online activity and Q. We also stuck our heads into the back end and showed that 8chan and 8kun are on the same server as some of the most prominent QAnon websites on the internet. What a coincidence. That leads us up to now. Right now, Q has been mostly quiet since the election. There's only been a handful of Q drops recently, and many QAnons are clearly very worried. They keep coming out with these bombastic statements that I think actually show they're realizing something fishy is going on. They're protesting a little bit too much, in my opinion. For example, one big QAnon account that has over 200,000 followers on Twitter wrote this the other day. This is Major Patriot. He said, quote, "You are witnessing the greatest intelligence operation in history. Military precision at its finest," end quote. He's referring to what he thinks is Donald Trump and Q's current plan post-election. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but the constant doubling down at this stage feels like he might be trying to convince himself more than anyone else. Of course, he could very well believe all of this. That's very possible. Many other QAnons are awarding Trump with a golden medal, despite the fact he's not done anything yet. None of his voter fraud cases are being taken seriously by the courts. But either way, the QAnons think he's doing a great job. They think it's genius. Here's another QAnon account hailing Trump as a military genius. The truth will do says, quote, "Do you understand how long our president has been preparing, studying, analyzing? Not only is he a brilliant businessman, but," he added, this guy, "real Donald Trump is a military genius. I could go on and on." And then he's got the two eyes emoji, and then it's 10/2/2012, obviously this date, and the tweet is from Donald J. Trump. It says, "The Chinese are now hacking White House computers. Why not? They already own the place." They think that the hardcore neoliberal Democrats of the US are somehow the same as totalitarian communists of the CCP in China. I don't know. Anyway, another QAnon tweet that shows them doubling down is this one by a guy called Entheos. Quote, "The boss man has been telegraphing moves all day." The boss man being Trump. "Hope everyone's listening. No wasted words, no wasted tweets. He speaks, it happens." Hashtag Sun Tzu. And the tweet that he's quoted here is from Donald Trump again, obviously, and it says, "The invisible enemy will soon be in full retreat." Now, when Trump is talking about the invisible enemy and stuff like that, it definitely plays into the hands of QAnon supporters. That's very much the kind of talk that QAnon uses. Here is the last but one of my all-time favorite QAnon tweets of recent days. It's from a guy called DOQ, Doc. It says, quote, "If there was a man who was persecuted more than Trump has been outside of Jesus Christ, who is that man? They killed Jesus and he was perfect. Don't think for a second they aren't going to try and kill you and me." End quote. And then the reply is Jair Bolsonaro, the openly fascist Brazilian president. So this guy is saying that, you know, Trump is comparable to Jesus Christ. He is saying that Trump is the second most persecuted, or maybe as persecuted, person in the history of the world as Jesus Christ. I mean, it's unbelievable to think that people are saying this, but that's what's being said. Now, I am laughing at this because, come on, it is insane. It's laughable. The coping mechanisms present here must be stretched very thin. However, there's one thing I hope people can take away from this podcast, from Q Clearance, and that is that actually you can't just mock these people into submission. You will not be able to engage with QAnons by laughing in their face and telling them how stupid they are. There are actually many highly intelligent people who've somehow fallen for this hoax. In many ways, it feels like the old contagious dancing phenomena. A whole village back in the day would start dancing in the streets, not able to stop. The more people that saw them, the more that joined. It was involuntary, a very interesting situation. QAnon is like this in a way, but for anyone that's remotely interested in right-wing conspiracy theories. It's an immediate snowball. I don't know how to stop it, but I do think part of the problem lies within ourselves. I know that's not going to be a popular opinion, but it's the one I have. It's very easy to scream and laugh at people we disagree with, but it's a lot harder to find common ground, which I think is something we should be trying to do more of now. Especially when you consider what's going on. In the last 5 years, the toxic culture war in America has dropped its cluster munitions, if you like, all over the place. You cannot escape the viciously partisan dialogue taking over American politics. This all rose up in a time when faith in mainstream media was hitting an all-time low, and Donald Trump made it his mission to label journalists as enemies. Now, that is not a partisan viewpoint. It's very clear he said they are the enemy of the people. And if you like, we can talk about Obama too. He did a lot of bad things for the freedom of journalists in America. But presently, we're talking about Trump. Trump has said that the journalists that basically say anything that doesn't go along with his line of thinking are the enemies of the people. That is an incredibly dangerous comment for the former president of the most powerful country in the world to make. Now, if people ardently follow Trump, they're already going to be mixed up within the culture war in the US. If they're mixed up in that from the right-wing MAGA perspective, they have a leader, Trump. When Trump says what he does about the media, the troops then follow. We've seen in a small space of time, hundreds of thousands of people begin to completely disengage from any media that isn't echoing their own opinions back to them. When that happens, these people dig deeper into so-called alternative media. Now, some alternative media is very good and very on point. I run my own platform, Popular Front, which some people would consider an alternative media platform. However, a lot of the alternative media are simply just right-wing opinion pieces or left-wing opinion pieces on the other side, presented as news. And they always have a dash of drama at all times. In a way, this is how Q cut his teeth. Remember, one of the many QAnon slogans is, "We are the news now." The idea spread by Q is that his followers don't need to watch the news anymore, they don't need to engage with it, because they can create it themselves. They then feel like they have a more important role and therefore a better place in the community. Everyone's agreeing with them, so to make everyone happy, they link absolutely everything back to Q and Trump, and they're championed for it by their new QAnon friends. Now, I'm not trying to sound like some kind of five-pint philosopher here, but I think we do live in some very dark times in many different ways. Whether you like it or not, it's true that we're living in a time of rampant hyper-consumerism, non-stop urbanization, and an over-reliance on social media. The world can become a very lonely place. Everyone is online all the time now. You might have family around you, but they might not ever be really present due to the social media and the phones. So, therefore, if you can find an online tribe of your own that pats you on the back every day, you can find yourself a surrogate family, albeit a very shallow one. This is, in my opinion, one of the biggest draws for QAnons. They have a place where they're welcomed. On top of that, it's all very exciting. They believe they're taking part in a global investigation of the highest stakes. They build new theories out of nothing and are told how smart they are by Q for doing it, and they're also told how stupid everyone else is for not seeing their excellence. Essentially, it's grooming. It segregates people from their real life, and it gives them a false sense of power within a new community that will always tell them that they're right. Many people want that. And it's not always their fault. Life is often boring and painful. If these people can find a place to feel useful outside of their everyday existence on a level as secretive and powerful as they think QAnon is, it's no wonder they fall for Q's lies every time. In a fucked up way, I'm sure for many QAnons that the real plan is the friends they made along the way. That would be fine if Q wasn't calling for the mass murder of any politicians that don't agree with his politics, and if he wasn't tearing families apart. But Q is doing that. Now, I don't think Q is going to last forever. I think it's probably going to fade out within the next year or two, but I do think the next iteration of Q, which, trust me, will come, I think that will cause even more damage. I'm not sure how to combat it all, but from my experience researching all of this, engaging with QAnon followers, and constantly reading their many posts, I think one thing that's maybe helpful is listening and engaging. I know that sounds simple, but you never know how much that can help a person. Perhaps you have a slightly wacky uncle, or your mum is oversharing conspiracy theories on Facebook. Don't scream at them, don't ignore them, and don't try to shame them in front of others. Forget all of this cancelling culture, forget that. Instead, maybe log off, take them outside for a walk, and speak to them before it's too late. Don't just do it once either. Change your routines to make sure they don't change theirs and become obsessed with this insane QAnon theory. Now, if it is too late and they're already deep in the QAnon maze, maybe try to talk to them to see if they'll listen to Q clearance with you. Make it a game, say you want them to debunk it, I don't know. I'm not just saying that because, yeah, I want people to listen to Q clearance. I've put a lot of work into this with the help of Sarah Hightower, and I think what we've done here is point out many of the flaws to QAnon without trying to totally degrade the QAnon people. It's distressful for people that are living with a family torn apart by Q right now, but just remember, Q will eventually fall. His base is already crumbling. When QAnon start to clear their eyes, don't laugh at them or tell them I told you so. Just try to rebuild whatever you've lost. Oh, and one last thing. Fuck Jim Watkins. Fuck Ron Watkins. This was Q Clearance. Thank you very much for listening. Q Clearance is brought to you by iHeartRadio and Coup d'Etat Media. I'm Jake Hanrahan. You can find me online at Jake_Hanrahan. That's H-A-N-R-A-H-A-N. This episode was produced by myself, with fact-checking by Sarah Hightower. The music is by Sam Black, and the sound levels were mixed by Thomas Griffin at Splicing Block. We'll be right back.